You hold the Mishnayos, Masechta Baba Basra, Perek Hei. We'll start over again, Mishnah Ches. This Mishnah again was, Hamoicha Yayin Voshem Lechaveroi. If two people, Reuven is selling wine or oil to his friend Shimon, for Hukro Oisha Huzlu. And in the middle of the deal, the prices went up, the value went up, but the value went down. And now one of them wants to retract. So when is it called the binding, the kinyan took place, that they cannot retract? So if they did not measure it off yet, let's say he came to buy a gallon of wine, if the moichah did not put the wine in the measuring cup to measure off the gallon yet, then la moichah, then the wine still belongs to the moichah, and if he wants to retract, he has a right to retract. But once they filled up the wine in the midah, in the measuring cup, then the lakeach, then that's considered lakeach owns the wine already, and then it's up to him what he wants to do with it. And the Gemara explains exactly how this kinyan works. Like we're talking about that this kli, this measuring cup, really does not belong not to the meicher and not to the buyer. Does not belong to neither of them, but rather it's a borrowed one, and they both have a right to use it. And also we're talking about now in the simta. So therefore, when the meicher is before he pours off, so it's still called in his rishus, the kli is in the meicher, everything still belongs to the meicher. But once he measures it off in this cup, now it's considered like it's borrowed for the use of this, so now it's considered like the lakeach owns the kli, and therefore he's kind of the wine, but it's like the kli, the wine is in his kli, in the simta, that's the kinyan. Now the Mishnah says, what's going to be the mahoyo sasar b'nehem? Let's say there was a middleman, like somebody working in between, he's the measurer. Like Reuven owns the wine, and Shimon is buying the wine, but Reuven, the owner, has a worker there that's measuring off the wine. Now, nishparo hachovis, while this worker was measuring off the wine, the barrel broke. So, nishparo lasarsar, he's chayef to pay for the loss. Since he's getting paid for the job that he's doing, he's like a shem sachar, therefore he's chayiv. Now, another halacha. V'chayiv lahativ loy shalosh tipim. Let's say somebody comes in and says he wants to buy this barrel of wine. So the moicher pours off his wine into the buyer's barrel. Now, when he has to empty out the barrel, he has to wait until at the end of it, 3 drops drip off. Like, that's called you emptied out the barrel. Because we know when you try and empty out completely, there's always some drops left over. So how long do you have to wait there until you're emptying out the barrel? Chayiv lahatif loy shalosh tipim. You have to wait till the last, like, 3 drops drip out. After it comes to such a point where only drops are dripping out, so after 3 of them drop out, that's considered the meicher, like, gave a barrel's worth of wine or oil, and then he could stop. Now, here, kino omitza, let's say the meicher later tilts the barrel on the side, and like there's still some wine left on it, left in the barrel, or some oil there, hareil shameicher ishno, the leftover still belongs to the meicher.
This is svara, that this much, the lakech, the one that's buying his meicher, lets the meicher keep it.
Now, v'hachenveni, Einer chayiv lahatif shalosh tipim. However, if you buy wine in a store, the storekeeper, we know, is very busy. He does not have to wait until he pours over until drops are dripping out. When he finishes pouring it out, that's considered he sold you the barrel even before like 3 drops starts to drip. Rabbi Yehuda says, Erev Shabbos im chashecha poter. Also, if you're selling wine or oil right before Shabbos, also people in a rush, and therefore he's potter from dripping off these last 3 drops. In other words, he really argues the Chumah Rabbi Yehuda, and he held even a chenveni, even the storekeeper, he's only potter from like not pouring off the last 3 drops, only on Erev Shabbos. But before that, during the week, he holds even a chenveni also has to make sure that he pours off the last 3 drops to the lakech. Mishneh Tes. Hashaleach es benoi eitzel chenveni upundion biyodoi. If you send your son to buy something from the store and you give him some money, Upunyan, he has some money in his hands. Now, you tell him to go to the store, to the grocery, to buy a pint of wine. Umodadloi. Now, the meicher, the chenbani, the storekeeper, measures out the issa shemen. He measures out a dollar's worth of oil. V'nosan lo yisiser. In other words, the father gave the son a punyan, let's say that's like $2 worth. And he wanted him to buy $1 worth of wine or of oil. So what happened is when the son comes into the store, the storekeeper gives him, measures off a dollar's worth of shemen, and also returns a dollar's change to the son. And you know what happens when the son is walking home? Shavar es hatzloichos, v'yivad es yisr. What's going to be if when the son on the way home, he breaks the barrel, there's a jug of oil, and he loses the money? So the Mishnah says, ha chen v'ni chayit, the Tanakam holds, it's the chen v'ni's fault. It's the storekeeper's fault. He shouldn't have sent the money and the oil with the son. He should have known he's not responsible. It was his fault for sending him. He's the psheya. He's chayif to pay his father. Rabbi Yehuda says no. The storekeeper's potter. Shamanas kein shilchoy. Listen, the father sent his son, and he sent the money with the son. So it's the father's fault. Like he, by him sending him, it's as if he's telling me you could send back the change and the oil with my son. So that's the machlokes of Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara explains that the reason why the Tanakam says that the chen v'ni is chayiv, because really there's a shaila when the father first sent the jug with the son, it's like an aveda midas, like he knew the son would lose it. So Gemara says that we're talking about a case where the meicher took this jar and he used it for somebody else, so it was like a sher shalem midas, therefore he's chayiv. So that's why the Mishnah ends off and says, O Maidim Chachom Rabbi Yehuda. But at the Tanakama, the Chachom agreed to Rabbi Yehuda that Bizman Shatz Luchas Viyada Tinik, if the Tinik, the kid, brought this jar to the storekeeper, that he should give him a dollar's worth of oil, and the storekeeper did not use it for himself, he was not the Shor Shlemidas, O Modad HaChen Vanila Soichoi, just the Chen Vanila, the storekeeper, poured off the shemen into this jar for the child, then HaChen V'ni Potter. Then the Chachamim also agree the Chen V'ni is Potter. Because of course there's a svara that since the father sent it with his son to the store, it is considered like an Aveda Midas. The father himself knew like it would have been lost. So therefore, since he wasn't Makbid, therefore the Chen V'ni is Potter. In other words, the Tanakhama says the Chen V'ni is only Chayiv, but the Gemara says only in the case where the Chen V'ni uses it for a different purpose for somebody else. So it's chayiv machmas adinov asher shleimidas. Yemishne yud hasitoin mekaneach midoisov achas l'shloishim yoim. Hasitoin, that's like the wholesaler, the one that sells all your wine to the storekeeper. So he sells it, he has to measure it off. We know there's a pasuk in the Torah that says, Mosnei tzedek, avnei tzedek, efes tzedek, vin tzedek, yilachem. That you have to make sure all your measuring things is emes. So the Mishnah explains, how do we keep this? So therefore, hasiton, the wholesale man, mekaneach midosav, he has to wipe off and clean off his scales or his weights, achas l'shleishim yom, once in 30 days. Because afterwards, after 30 days, let's say the wine gets stuck to the scale itself, whatever you're selling, and it won't come out that you're selling the right amount. So therefore, to keep sure the Mosnei Tzedek, Navnei Tzedek, you have to clean it off once in 30 days. Well, Bala Bayis, what about a private man that doesn't do so much selling? Then Achat L'Shnei Mosachedish. It's enough for him to clean off, polish off his measuring cups, or to use those tools once a year. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Chilaf Advarim, just the opposite. That's the sitan that uses it often, so it doesn't stick to the weights, to the scales. He's always using it. So therefore, it's enough to clean it out once a year. However, Balabas, since he doesn't use it that often, he uses it, let's say, once a month, so it gets stuck to it. So therefore, you have to clean it out once in 30 days. That's Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel's svara of chilaf advarim. What about hachenveni? What about the storekeep himself? Mekaneach midoiso pamayim b'shabbos. He has to wipe off, clean off his scales, his measuring cups, twice a week. Because otherwise, it gets stuck inside, it stays there, you're not going to measure off well. Umamamche mishkaloisov pamachas b'shabbos. And he has to also, mamche means like wipe off his mishkaloisov, his measuring, his mishkalos, his weights, once a week. But the midos of his measuring cups, he has to do more twice a week, because like we had before, when you sell from the measuring cup, you don't have to really wait till every single drop of it comes out of it. Just when three drops come out, then you could stop. So there's always a lot left over, so you have to wash them out more often, twice a week. Mashenki mishkalos of just the weights, that's enough to do once a week. Umakaneach maznayim, the scale itself, I'll call mishkal a mishkal. Every time you use the scale, you have to wipe it off, clean it off each time. Because otherwise, since the scale itself, like the cup that you put the stuff into, it's a base kibble, it accepts it, it's a base kibble, it's like a cup there, so a lot gets stuck in there. Therefore, you have to wash it out, clean it out every time, after every use. Yeah, Mishnah Yud Aleph. Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, when was it said that you have to wipe off or wash off the measuring cups? Balach, that's only when you're measuring something liquid. Then it gets stuck inside it that you have to clean it off. Avul biyavish, let's say you're measuring off or weighing off dry stuff like pears, fruits, and etzarach, then you do not have to dry it out because it does not get stuck. Dried stuff does not get stuck to the weights. There's a new halacha now. The halacha with the minig is when you weigh off things, so you have the weight on one side and the food on the other side, it was a minig to add a little bit to the food side that it should go down a tefach. What about hoyer shokoloi ayin b'yayin? Let's say the minig of the makom was no, when they weighed off a pound, they gave exactly a pound, like it was exactly even, the weight side and the food side on the other side. And then, noisam loy gerumov. Still there was a minig, tear on a drop more. Not that you have to let the scale come down a tefach, but tear on a drop more. Now how much more do you have to tear on? Echad liyasar balach. If it's liquid, one tenth, which means 100. And the echod le'esrim b'yavish, 1/10, 1/20 of 100, means like 1/400 of dried stuff. That's how much the minig was in that place, tear on extra. Now, mokum shenagu lomad bedaka, if the minig is when you measure out with small measurements, with let's say a kav, and the case we're talking about now where the minig was lachriya, so then loyomad begasa, you should not measure out now with a bigger weight. Because the lokeach will lose out. Because like this, since the minig was to use a smaller weight, and every time they used a smaller weight, it would have to be lachriya loy tefach. So every time the lokeach would gain a little bit. So therefore, you should not change it now, like to make it one time into a gasa. And the same thing the opposite of the way, the gasa, let's say the minig of this makom is they measure with bigger weights. So then really the meicher saves. That he only has to give one time lachriya, so then lo yomad v'daka, they should not change now to use smaller weights, because then the meicher would lose out. Limchak, let's say the meaning of the makom is when you sell it, so the meicher has a right to be meichik, means like to smoothen out the top. So if that's the meaning, lo yigdosh, do not sell it to let the top pile up. Let's say you're selling a jar, a glass full of flour. So there's two ways. You can let the flour fill up to the top of the cup, become like a pyramid on top. Or else you could flatten it down on top. So that's called limchik. So if the minig is to flatten it down on top, like you're giving a little bit less, so then lo yigdosh, do not give him a little bit more. Even in the case where the lakech wants to pay you a drop more for that. Or ligdosh, if the minig is to pile it up on top, then lo yimchik, you should not give him less than that. In other words, you should always do according to the minig of the makom. Because otherwise, there's always a chash that people will think you're coming with their remoyes to jipim or I know. So therefore, when you do these measuring, you should always do it according to the minig of the makam. Perek shishi, mishnalef, ha'moicha peres lachaveiroi. If somebody sells fruits to his friend for loy tzimchoi, and they do not grow, in other words, the lakeach took it like to plant them. Instead of just eating them, he took them to use them to plant, and they didn't grow. V'yafilu zera pishton, even if the sale was taking place on the seeds of flax. So the locher is, einoi chayi bachar yusam. The moicher is not chayiv to pay back. But the klal is, ein hochem b'mom achor harayv. So therefore, even though roof people, when they buy the zera of pishton, the flax seeds, they use it to plant them. And if, like he would have spoken out clearly, I'm buying it for planting, then it would be a mekach tois. But still, we did not go after the roif. Since there's a meat of people that use even zera pishton to eat it, and here he did not speak out clearly what he's doing with it, so the moicher has the right to say, I thought you were buying it to eat it, and therefore even though now you cannot use it for planting it, still it's not a mekach tois, because you could use it to eat it. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel loimer, zeroini gino sheino necholin, chayibach yusam. Let's say the sale took place of a special type of seeds that you plant in the garden that's not edible, it's not royal achilo. So therefore, pshita, even though you sell it stam, and now when the lakech takes it, it does not grow, so that's called the mekach tois. Therefore, the lakech, the moicher is chaya bach yusin. He has to pay him back his money. And the Gemara says, really, even the Tanakhama agrees to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. The Amar Machlekes is, when this lakeach took the seeds and went to plant them, and later it comes out, nothing grows, so Rav Shimon holds, not only does the Meicher have to pay him back the money for the seeds, but he also has to pay him back the money for the work. Like the lakeach worked for nothing, he spent time seeding his field and nothing grew, so that's the Machlekes. So you have to pay back even for the time, for the effort he spent seeding the field. Mishnah Beis. Ha'moicha peiris lechaveiroi. If somebody sells peiris to his friends, different types of tfua, is hareze mekabel olov roiva tinoifas laso, that the lokeach accepts upon himself to take a roiva hakav, a quarter of a kav, of psoilis lechol so. For every saw of tfua that he buys, he accepts upon himself a quarter of a kav, which is really 1/24th, because there are 6 kavim in the saw. So when you buy tfua, different types of wheat or grain, you accept upon yourself that 1/24th of it could be like a bed. What about the tainim? Let's say you are buying figs. Mekabel olav eser metulois lemeya. 1/10th could be wormy. You know, if you buy 100 figs, so 10 of them, even though 10 are wormy, still it's called a good sale. What about the martif shoyayin? I'm selling you wine from the martif, from the wine cellar. So lochur is mekabel olav eser koisusais lameya. If you're buying like 100 barrels of wine there, so even if 10 barrels are not so good, is yayin makukul, bad wine, still it's called a good sale. It means 1/10 is normal. Kankanim basharon. Let's say you're buying these type of pitchers, barrels, basharon and sharon. Then mekabel olav eser pitasiyos lameya. You accept upon yourself 10 barrels out of 100 that are not so good. Pitfios means kankanim shloim nisiyasher kotzarkim. They did not dry out all themselves, and therefore it's going to break. So even though you're buying 100 of them, if 10 of them are not so good, that's a derech, like this is not called a mekach tois. This much is called like the moicher does not realize it, and this is normal for these things to happen, therefore the sale still takes place. Mishnah Gimel. Ha moicher yayin lechaveiro vehechmetz. If somebody sells wine to his friend, and by the lekech now becomes vinegar, becomes sour, is ein lechayi bach yusan. The moicher is not chayav to pay back for it. Because we said the time of the mechira was good wine, and it changed by the lakech, it changed. What's going to be vim yadua sheyenu machmetz? Let's say we know though that the wine gets spoiled by the moicher. In other words, we know that this wine is wine that spoils fast. And the Gemara says, we're talking about in a case where the Lekech said clearly, I want wine that will last a long time, because I want to use it for my food, not to drink it right away, but to leave it for a long time. So in such a case, then we say, raise the Mekach Tois, that's the Mekach Tois, because since the Lekech spoke out that he wanted wine that could stay a long time, and then if it turns sour right away, that's the Mekach Tois. Let's say the Lekech said to the Mecher, Yain Mavusham, or as the Mecher said, Yain Mavusham, Ani Mechloch, I'm selling you wine that smells good. In other words, wine that has mixed inside it some besomim, some spices, and that's usual to last at least until the summertime. So Lecher is, Chayiv Lahamid Lo Yad HaTzeres, the wine that has to last until Shavuos. If it gets spoiled before Shavuos, it's called the Mekach Tois. What about the Yoshan? Let's say the Moichah says, I'm selling you old wine. So then, Mishel Eshtakot, there has to be wine that was made last year. It has to be at least a year old. What about Umiyushan? Let's say the Moichah says, I'm selling you wine that's Umiyushan. That's Mishel Shaloshan. That has to be 3 years ago. In other words, it's made 2 years ago, and at the end of the third year, that's called Yayin Miyushan. Mishneh Dalet. Hamoiche Mokim Lachaveroi. If you sell a place to your friend, Livnes Leibayis, in order to build a house, V'chein, the same thing, Hamakavo Mechaveroi, Livnes Loi, Beis Chasnes Levnoi, or else you're a Kablon, that you accept to build for somebody else, a small house. For Beis Chastos Levnoi means that your son should live there after he gets married, or else Ubeis Almanus Levitoi, a small house next to your house that your daughter should live there if she's an Amono. So Lochri is Boina Arba Amas Al Sheish. Divir Rabbi Akiva, like such a small house, it's enough just that it's 4 Amas by 6 Amas. Since he only said Stam to build me such a type of a house, which is a small house next to your house, so the Kiva holds it's enough if you build it 4 by 6. Rabbi Yishmoy Loimer, Refes Boker Hizu, no, that's not called a house. That's a Refes book. That's for corral animals can live in such a small place. And therefore he says, Haroitza Lasves Refes Boker, somebody that wants to make Minastam to build a Refes Boker corral for the animals, Boina Arbamos Al Sheish. And what size should it be? It should be 4 by 6. But this is Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel Shita, that this is too small to be a base chasnus or a base almonus. Now, bayis kotan, let's say somebody says he wants to buy, build a small house. How much is, what's the smallest for a small house? That sheish al shmoina, that 6 amas by 8 amas. This could be pshat Rabbi Shmuel, that's not enough just to build 4 by 6, but you have to build 6 by 8. Godel, let's say they speak out and say, he says, he wants you to build them a big house, a big room, that's called Shemena Aleso, it has to be 8 Amos by 10 Amos. What about Traklin, that's even a bigger, it's a big hall like, that's Eser Aleso, then you have to build them a room, a big room, 10 Amos by 10 Amos. Roimoy, what's the height of all these? Kechatzi Orko, Kechatzi Rochboy, the height is like half of the width and half of the length. So, if let's say a traklin is 10 by 10, so the height would also be a 10. Rai Ladova, what's the proof of this? Heichel, from the Beis HaMikdash itself. And Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Leimer, HaKel Kebinyan HaHeichel. Something like he's explaining himself, we learn off in the Binyan of the Heichel, that the Heichel was 40 yamas wide. It was 40 yamas long, and 20 yamas wide. And it was 30 yamas high, because half of 40 is 20, half of 20 is 10, that's 30. So see, for me, the minastam, the height, is half of the length and the width. Now, Mishneh Hei. Mishi yesh loy bor lefnim mibesa shechaveroi. Somebody that has a bor, he owns a bor, he owns the well of water, which happens to be inside somebody else's house, like he has to go through his house to get his well of water. So the locher is nichnas peshosha derech ben yodiv nichnosim. You only have a right like to go through the house during the daytime, at a normal time when people still go through. And you have to leave the house also at an early time when people leave, not to come at night to wake them up. And also, you can't bring your animals through his house in order to feed them water by your bowl of water. Elo rather, memala, you should fill up your pitchers of water, or mashke mi bachutz, and give him to drink. They bring the water outside and let the animals drink the water outside the person's house. This much of a right you don't have to go through his house with the animals. Both the owner of the house and the owner of the well have a right to put a lock on the well. And the Gemara explains, Pshita, the one that owns the well, has a right to put a lock there that nobody should steal his water. Why then should the person that owns the house have a right to put a lock on the well? So Gemara says, Mishum Chashad, that if the owner of the house would not also have a lock on the well, then the owner of the well like could come in any time during the day to get his water. So we have to be afraid that sometimes he'll come in when the owner of the house is not home and only his wife is there. So be a chashad yichud. So like this, though, that the owner of the house also has a lock on the well, so therefore the owner of the well like will only go through the house when he knows for sure the owner of the house is there. So then the owner of the house will open up his lock, and the owner of the well will open up his lock, then there won't be any chashad. So that's why both of them have a right to put a lock on the well. Now, Mishnah Vov. Again, somebody owns a gino garden in front of somebody else's garden. In other words, there's an inside one and there's an outside one. And the one that owns the inside one could only get there by going through the outside one. So again, nichnas b'shor shederech b'nayodim nichnosim v'yoytzim b'shor shederech b'nayodim yoytzim. You have to go in at a time when people go in and when people go in and when people go out. In other words, you're going through his field really is like ruining it. So if you can only go in when you want to go into your field and only at normal usage. And therefore the Mishnah goes on to say, if you want to sell the produce that you have growing in your inside garden, you're not allowed to bring the people inside there to sell it to them. But rather you have to bring it outside, because the more people walk through the outside garden, just ruins it. You're not allowed to walk through this outside field for the purpose to make a shortcut to go to another field. In other words, you only have a right to go through the outside field to go into your field, to use your field. Now, this path, the right you have to go through the outside field, the owner of the outside field, he has the right to plant there. Now, Nostan Loderach Min Hatzad, Midas Shnehem, let's say though the person of the outside field made up with the inside field that the path will be on the side, they both agree that the path to go through will be on the side path, then Nichnas B'Shor Shuroitza, V'Yoitza B'Shor Shuroitza, then he can use it more often. He doesn't have to worry about it. Because since it's on the side of the field, he's not ruining it so much. And therefore also, he's allowed to even bring in the people that he wants to sell the fruits to into the through the outside field, since it's on a side road. But still, you're not allowed to use that, even that outside road, just to use it to make a shortcut to go into another road. In other words, you're only allowed to use it to go into your field. And therefore, both the inside and the outside person is not allowed to plant there. Since it's more or less set aside for pathway, and it's going to be an active pathway, therefore both of them should not plant on it. Mishnah Zayin. Misha hoysa derech harabim oiveres patoich sadeyu. Somebody that had a rabbim used the pathway through the middle of his field. They did it mitchilah b'rishus. But the Maisa, there was a rabbim having a pathway going through your field. Now the Balabos wanted to change it, and therefore not love Noson Lehem in Atzad. He got up one day and he gave them another pathway to go through the side of the field. So the Loch, and he wanted them to stop to go through the middle of the field, and just to use now the side path. So the Loch is Masha Noson Noson. The second path that he gave the rabbim, they still have a right to use. He can't get it back. But v'shaloi lo higia, he does not receive back the middle field either. The Gemara explains why, because since the middle field is more nicha for everybody, because it's closer to the top and to the bottom, so if any time you give a second field min atzad, you have no right to make the exchange. But once you gave it to the Rav Bibim for one day, they were kind with Bahalicha, therefore you cannot get back that second a pathway either. Now, Derech HaYochid Arbamis, what's called a private pathway, that's Arbamis. If you make up with somebody, I want to buy a pathway through your field, that's Daldamis. Derech HaRabim, when a Rabbim wants to use it, that's Sheis Esriyam, that's 16 Amis. Derech HaMelech, a pathway for a king to go through, ain't Lashir, there's no Shir. King has the right to make the pathway as wide as he wants. Derech HaKever, let's say they want to make a pathway to go through your field to be Malava the mate to the Beis HaKvaros. They want a Derech HaKever. Also, Ein Lashir, if you agree to sell to somebody a pathway that the people could use to go to the Beis HaKvaros, there's Ein Lashir, because there's Ein Lashir, it's covered a mace. No matter how many people are there, by the Levaya, they're allowed to walk through this field now. HaMaimud, what about if you want to buy a place to make the Maimud? But that was the place where, when they came back from the Beis HaKvaros, they used to stop and sit down seven times. That's called Mamodis. So Dainu Tzipor, Rambam, the Leonim in Tzipor, used to say, Beis Arbo as Kabin. It has to be wide enough in a place that you could plant four Kabin of seeds, which really that is, it comes out to be Chamisha Mama, the length, and Shloish 33 and a third, the width. All right, a turnover. You're up to Mishnah Ches. Hamoyche mokim lechaveroi lasas lekever. If somebody buys off his friend a place, a property, in order to make a kever, to make a grave, which here the Mishnah means really a little bit of type of a basic forest, that they used to bury the home mishpacha together, they used to buy a plot like where you bury your home mishpacha. So we'll soon see how it comes out. That's called a kever. So, and the Mishnah says, v'chein, the same thing applies, ha-mekabel mechaver alasas lekever. If somebody accepts from his friend, he's a mekabelite to do something like this, lasas lekever, to make a kever. So what do you have to do? How big does the plot have to be? How big does the land have to be? Is oisa toicho shomoro. So what they used to do with then is they used to dig a grave. We'll see the whole Mishnah. It used to be a chotzer, a piece of property in front, and then they would dig a grave. They would dig a moro, a cave. I mean, they would dig a cave down deep in the ground. Now oisa toicho shomoro. How wide was the cave itself? Arba amos al sheish. It was 4 amos wide and 6 amos long. That's how big the cave itself was. Upaseach l'soichor shemoina kuchen. Now, the way they used to bury then was, they used to go down into this cave, and on the walls in the cave, they used to dig holes like a straight across in the wall of the cave. So, in the cave, there was 4 amos by 6 amos. They were able to bury 8 kuchen, like 8 people were there. Kuchen means like the hole where they put the oven, where they put the mace himself into. How does it work out? Shloisho mikan, ushloisho mikan. 3 mason were buried on the right side wall, which is, let's say, 6 amos long. Ushloisho mikan. And 3 mason were buried on the left side wall, which is also 6 amos long. Ushnaim mikinegdon. Now the opposite end, which was 4 amos wide, you put 2 mason there. So it comes out like there was an amma for the mace itself, an amma in between, an amma for the mace, and an amma in between. That's what it used to make, this type of a kvaros. Now, the hakuchen, what was the dimensions of the actual hole, the actual grave where they put the mace into? Orkon arba amas, it was deep, it was like long inside the wall, 4 amas long. The rumon, and the height of it, was shiva, was 7 tfachim. The rochvon shisha, and it was wide, 6 tfachim. Was an extra tefach high in order usually to make a pasach tefach that the tumah should not go up. It should be like a pasach tefach. That's why it was a tefach higher than it was wider. Rabbi Shimon says, "Oisa soicha shomor." He argues and says, "No. How big was the inside of the cave itself? Shesh amos al shemoina. It was 6 amos wide and 8 amos long. Upoiseach l'soicho shloisha osakuch. You were able to fit like 13 holes, 13 graves where you put 13 mesim. How? Arbo mikan ve'arbo mikan. The length of the walls, which were 8 amos long, you would have 4 on the right side, 4 on the left side. Ushloisha miknegdon. The opposite side, which was 6, so there you could have 3, you could have 3 mesim. And also, where were the last two? The yechod mi'min ha-pesach, the yechod min ha-smel. One was on the right side of the pesach of the entrance, and one was on the left side. Now exactly what does this mean is a big machlekes in the Gemara. Exactly what does it mean, the right side of the pesach or the left side of the pesach? Because the Gemara says in the chutz itself, it was Torah, there was no mesim. So one side of the Gemara comes out, really doesn't mean the Pesach, it means the opposite side of the Pesach in the corners. In the two opposite sides, where there were 3 there, so in the corners of it, that another 2. The question, they would bump into one or the other, so the Gemara answers, they had it at different levels. One was higher, one was lower. But according to Rabbi Shimon, the dimensions of the actual cave was 6 by 8, and therefore they're able to put 13 mesim in each cave. Now, on top of the cave was the chotzer, was a piece of a yard there. Sheish al sheish, it had to be six amis by 6 amis, because the mace itself, we said, the length of it could be daub amis. You wanted to have an armor on each side of it for the people who are carrying it. Therefore, the chotzer itself has to at least be on top. You're going to put the mace down and carry the mace into it. Has to at least be 6 amis by 6 amis. Now, Mishnah explains, Kimloi ha-mita v'chavreh, in order to have the length of the mita of the bed itself, and the two people on the side carrying the mita. U'paseach l'sayecho shtei moros. Now you have this chotzer on top. Now on both sides of it, you could have 2 different caves. One on the right side, with the dimensions we had before, and one on the left side, another cave. Achas mikan v'yachas mikan. Rabbi Shimon says, you could even have Arbo li arbo ruchasa. You could have 4 caves. In other words, you have one chotzer on top, one yard, 6 amos by 6 amos. On all 4 sides of it, you could have 4 caves there. And in each cave, you have the dimensions we had before about how many mason you could put in. Whether you could put in 8 or whether you put in 13. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel in there, he makes like a pshara and says, Hakril fi hasela. Depends upon how strong the ground is. If it's like stony, like hard, like rock, so then you can put in 13 mesim. Then you can make it bigger. If it's softer, the ground, you have to have more space, you have to be careful, then you can only put 8 mesim. So Moore also goes through this, how can you have 4 caves on all 4 sides of the chatzar? The chur, the kuchum will also knock into one another. The Moore also answers, we're talking about that there are different levels. One was higher, one was lower, so went straight into the ground, therefore they did not meet, they did not bump one into the other.
Perek Shvi, Mishnah Aleph.
Somebody says to his friend, I'm going to sell you this size property, which is a base kur. The base kur is 30, so that's what the size of the property I'm going to sell you. Now, let's say in the middle of this property there were ditches there that were deep 10 tfachim, or else there were some stones there that was tall 10 tfachim. These holes or these stones cannot be included in the base kur. You have to give him property excluding this, because since he said clearly base kur offer dirt means like place roy to plant on. Therefore, if you have such big stones or such deep ditches, you can't plant there, or it's not called like one field, it's not included. What about pochos mikan? Let's say the ditches or the stones are less than 10 tfachim, then nimdodedin imo, then it's included part of the property, even though still you can't use it. But the Gemara says that's the way all fields are. All fields have some cracks in it and some hills in it. Let's say it speaks out like this. Kibbeis kur ofer. I'm selling your property like a base, like a kur offer. He doesn't say base kur, but kur like. Then afilu hoyisham nikoyim amukim yosem yasar tfachim. Even though there are ditches, there are holes there deeper than 10 tfachim, oisloyim gvoyim yosem yasar tfachim. Whereas there are stones there higher up, higher than 10 tfachim. Hareelu nimdodinima. These are still included in the sale. Since he said like a base kur, does not mean one flat piece of land. Anything means any type, as if to say the way it is, I'm taking it the way it is, therefore they're all included in the sale. Mishnah Beis. Beis kur ofer ani moicheloch. Let's say somebody says, I want to sell you a piece of property, also the size of a base kur. Mido bechevel. But I'm selling it to you with the measurement of a string, which means exact measurement. I'm selling you exactly a base kur. That's the size of this property. Therefore, pochas kolshu, let's say it comes out, you gave him a drop less, is yinaka, you have to deduct from the price. Hoise kolshu, let's say it comes out, you gave him a drop more property than a base kur, is yachzer, he has to return it. Since you said clearly, bachevel means the exact amount. What about imoma? Let's say the moicha just said, hein choser, hein yoser, I'm selling you true a base kur, but it could be a drop less or drop more. Then the svar is, afilo pochas roiva laso, even if there's missing a quarter of a kav to a saw, which is 1/24, oi hoisir roiva laso, whereas you added, you gave him more property, or a vias of a kav to a saw, 1/24, hegiyai, it's still called the sale is a good sale. Since you spoke out, hein choser, hein yoser, the sale is good. What about yoisimikan? Let's say you give him more extra property than 1/24, or you give him less than 1/24. Then the locher is yasa cheshben. That's not included in the sale. Then you have to make a cheshben. Like if he gave you too little, you'll have to give him more. Or if he gave him too much, he'll have to return it. Now mahu machzaloi, what does lokeach have to return? Let's say the extra that he received is more than 1/24. It's more than a roiva lasor that he has to return it. What does he have to return? So Mois, the Mishnah says that it's up to the Moicher, he has the right to ask the Lekeach to give him money, not to give him back this small piece of property because it's not worth too much by itself, but rather he could ask for money. But Vimrotza, let's say the Moicher agrees he wants, Masa Lekarka, then Abad Lekeach could return to him the extra karka that he received. It's Masa Lekarka. If he agrees, he could return the karka. Why was it said like the Moicher has the right to ask for money? To make it better for the Moicher, we just explained. Because really it's an extra small piece of land. And it's less than Tisha Kabin. So therefore, it can't be used by itself. So therefore, the Moicher won't have too much of a gain with it. So therefore, he has the right to ask for money. But what's going to be Shimshir Basod, the base Tisha Kabin? Let's say though the extra property that was given was the size of Tisha Kabin, which that is a sheer choshev by itself. Uvagin Rosa was in the garden, base Chatikav. The extra property that was given was a Chatikav, which is a sheer choshev by itself. Uchidivar Rav Akiva, according to Rav Akiva, base Roiva, or Roiva Kav of a Ginu is a sheer choshev of a Soda. Then Machtaloy is a Karka. Then it's up to the Lakeach. If he wants to, he has a right to return the property, the extra property. Since there's so much there, it's called a shir choshev of a sada by itself, he could return it. Now when he returns, he doesn't only have to return the extra, the more than 1/24, but rather, elokol hamoiser, he returns everything. Once there was a mistake here, more than kibay mechila, more than 1/24, then when you have to return now, Lekeach has to return, you have to return the extra, whole extra. Or else if he gave him too little, the Moicher has to pay him for the whole loss that he left out. But it's up until 1/24, it's called a Mechila. But once you go over that, then you have to return the whole thing. Mishnah Gimel. What about if somebody says, Mido b'chevel ani Moicheloch, I'm selling you this property, this base kur, the chevel with a string means the exact amount. But then he ends off, hein choser, hein yoser. No, whether it's a little bit more, a little bit less. So he says two different words. The soisa and the opposite. So the question is, do we go both a Lashon Rishon or Lashon Achron? So our mission holds Bitel, Hein Choser, Hein Yoser. We go after the last Lashon. So the last words that he said, whether the property is a little bit more, a little bit less, that's Mavato, that takes away from the first words that he said of Mido Bachevel. What about if somebody says the opposite? Hein Choser, Hein Yoser. I'm selling you this property, whether it's a little bit more, a little bit less. But then he ends off, Mida Bachevel, no, I'm selling it to you exactly the exact amount, the exact measurement with a string. So again, Bittel Mida Bachevel, Hein Choser, Hein Yoser. The last words that he said, it should be an exact amount, that's Mavato, the first words that he said, of Hein Choser, Hein Yoser. Divrei Ben Enos. These are the words of Ben Enos that he holds, Hochmas Acha Loshen Achron. The Gemara said, the Chomim argue on Ben Enos. What about if somebody says, I'm selling you this piece of property, this base kur, b'simonov uv'mitzorov, I'm selling it to you, I'm telling you it's a base kur, but I'm also giving you these are the signs of the field, and these are the boundaries of the field. So then we say, pochus mishtos egil, achtos yinake. Here, even though it's missing up until the sixth, and in the Gemara it's a machlokes, some say even a sixth, still it's a good sale. Even though before we had 120, if it's more than 124th, it's yinake, you have to return. But over here, since you said clearly, simonim and mitzorov, it's as if you said more or less, take it the way it is, I'm showing it to you here right now. So therefore, as long as there's not a difference of a sixth, then the sale is good. But once there's a difference of more than a sixth, whether it's less or more, then yinake, then you have to make the difference of price, either pay back or receive back. Mishnah Dalet. Hoy melech haveroi chatzi sodrani mochloch. Somebody says to his friend, I'm selling you half of my field. So, mishamnin b'neim. The field itself, they have a right to evaluate the field. And v'noito chatzi sodayu. And he takes half of the field. In other words, the yad of the moicha, the seller, is has the upper hand. Now, let's say he has a field here. Let's say it's an acre, and it's worth $100. Now, let's say, and 30% of it is very good karka. That 30% of it alone is worth $50. And the other 70% of it is worth also $50. So if the merchant wants, he has the right to say, I want to take this better property, even though it's a smaller amount, but it's a better property, I could take this half for mine, half. That's called mishamnin b'neim. You have to value, true, it has to be worth $50 a piece, but even though the merch has taken the better part of the land, he has a right to do that. Yad merch al hol yoina. What about chetzia b'dorma ani mecheloch? Let's say I speak clearly and tell you, I'm going to give you half of the field on the south side. So then again, mishamnin b'nehim v'noitel chetzia b'dorim. But again, first we value, see the valuation of the south side of the field, how much it's worth, and then we give the moicher again the right that he has a right to take out of the field the better part of the field, and he'll give the lakeach the field that's kochosh, that's not so good, as long as it's worth half of the price. Same thing, even though he said the word dorm here, he just meant to sell its value, see how much the south side is worth. And then out of this field, he has to give him that much karka. But exactly where, again, it's up to the moicher to give him where he wants. Now, the Mishnah ends off. V'hu mekabel lolov mokam hagoder, that the lokeach, the one that buys the half of the field, he accepts upon himself the place where to make the geder, where to make the wall, charitz ubein charitz, also to make a hole and in between the hole. Now the kamahu charitz, how wide is the hole? Shisha tfachim. Ubein charitz, in between the hole and the geder, it has to be shloisha, there are three tfachim in between. And the Gemara explains the reason why you have to have this wall and then the ditch, the charitz, and then next to it is in order that the nemiya, like some animal, should not be able to jump over. Therefore, we have to have a ditch before the right after the wall, and the space in between, that the animals should be afraid to jump over, like from one half of the chatzar to the other side. Yeah, Perek Shemini, Mishnah Aleph. Yesh noichlin umanchilin, v'yesh noichlin v'loy manchilin. Now we're going to talk about the parasha of Yerusha. We know it's somebody's mace. The question is, who takes over his property? So there are some people that's called yesh noichlin, that there's Yerusha. If the kreivim die, the yarshin, but moshe, let's say if a father dies, so the son yarshins his father, that's called yesh noichlin. There are some people that yarshin other people, uman chilin, and the opposite way. Let's say a son dies, and he has no children, then the father, and the father's still alive, so the father yarshins his son. So really, it should have said a lashon of yesh noichlin zeh zeh, but it doesn't say that because of the sefer. But that, this is considered yesh noichlin uman chilin, that these two kroivim, each one at different times yarshin one the other. V'yesh noichalin v'loy manchilin. Certain times, if one person is mace, so there's Yerusha, yesh noichlim, certain relatives yarshin other relatives, but v'loy manchilin, when they are mace, those same relatives do not yarshin them, like we'll soon explain. And also manchilin, there are certain people when they die, they're murderous, like their Yerusha goes over to somebody else, but v'loy noichalin, they do not receive it back. If the other person dies, really, there's a repetition of the case before, that these two, we'll soon see, these two cases, it only, the Yerusha only goes one way. One yarshins the other, but the other one does not yarshin him back. And there's another type of loy noichlin v'loy manchilin. There's also a type that there's no Yerusha at all, even though there's kreivim, they do not receive any Yerusha, and they do not give Yerusha. Now the Mishnah explains, v'eilu noichalin umanchilin. These are the type of kreivim that they yarshin one another. What are these? Ho'av es habonim, the father to his son. That means, let's say the bonim, let's say your son dies, and he doesn't have any sons, so then the locher is the father yarshins his son. That's called the av es habonim. The father yarshins his son. The habonim es av, and the other way, when the father dies first, so then the children, the sons, they yarshin their father. So that's called noichalin umanchilin. The yoachin minu av, who are then the brothers of the same father. Which means, let's say we have two brothers, let's say we have Reuven and Shimon, and Reuven dies. Now let's say the father Yaakov is not alive, and Reuven doesn't have any children. So the locher is that Reuven's brother, Shimon, yarshins him. And the same with the other way. Let's say Shimon would die, and Shimon has no children, and Shimon doesn't have a father, the father Yaakov is not alive anymore. So then Reuven would yarshin a Shimon. That's called v'yoachin minu'av, that there are times when two brothers from the same father, they yarshin one another. So these are the cases of noichalin umanchilin, that they yarshin one another. Now, ho'ish es imoy, a man yarshins his mother. V'yo'ish es ishtoy, a husband yarshins his wife. U'b'nei achoyis, and the sons of achoyus of the sister, is noichalin, they yarshin, but v'loy manchilin, like when the husband dies, the wife does not yarshin her husband, or else when the man dies, his mother does not yarshin him. Thus we'll soon see that b'nei achoyus, they do not yarshin, the brothers do not yarshin them. So now, ho'ish es imoy, the case is poshut. In the case where the mother dies, so the locher is that if she has a son yashins the mother. But let's say a son dies, the locher is that his Yerusha, first of all, it goes, if he has children, it goes to his children. And if he doesn't have children, it goes to the father, not to the mother. So this is the case that the son yashins the mother, but the mother does not yashin the son. The same thing, a man with his wife, that a man yashins his wife when his wife dies. So that's what we said, the son yashins his mother, that's only when the father is not alive. But if the father is alive, so the father yashins his wife. Bashen came when the father dies, then the wife does not yashin her husband, but rather the children yashin the husband. Now, b'nei achoyus mean, like in a case, let's say, where the children of Dina, let's say like we know Dina and Reuven were brother and sisters, and Reuven died, and let's say Reuven's father Yaakov died, and Reuven has no brothers. Now, the locha would have been that Dina, the sister, would have yashined. In the case where there are no brothers, then the sister yashins. So now the children of the sister, they would yashin instead of their mother. So in the case where Reuven would die, that's called b'nei achoyus. The children of Reuven's sister Dina, they would yashin Reuven. However, the opposite way around, if when they would die, so their Yerusha would not go back to Reuven. So that's called noichalin v'loy manchilin. They yashin, but does not go back the other way. Now, Isha as Boneho, a wife to her children, Isha as Baila, or a wife towards a husband, V'yachayim, or brothers from the just the same mother, is Manchilin v'loy noichalin. These people, the opposite way, they give off the Yerusha, like the wife gives off the Yerusha to a son, but she does not receive it back. The wife gives off the Yerusha to the husband, but she does not receive it back. The same thing, v'yachayim. But the achim menuim loy noichlin v'loy manchilin. But the brothers, just from the same mother, they have no yerush at all. They don't yashin one another. They do not receive and they do not give one to another. So that is said before again that Isha as boneho, the Yisha as bailo, the achayim. The achayim means not brothers from the same mother, but it means brothers of the mother. That we have before, like when Dina would be mace, so then her brothers, Reuven, would not yashin her. Even though we said before when Reuven dies, and he has no brothers alive, and no father, no children, then his sister yashins him, but the opposite way. But when the mother, when Dina would die, then her brothers would not yashin her. So that's also called manchilin, just they give off the Yerusha of Lenech, and they don't receive it back. Now, Mishnah Beis. Seder necholois kachu. What's the Seder exactly? How does Yerusha work? So the Pasuk says, Ish ki yomus ubein ein loy v'havartem es nacholosa levitoi. That when the father dies and he has no sons, so then the Yerusha goes to his daughter. So from this Pasuk we see that if there is a son, ben koidem labas. If there is a son, so the son receives the Yerusha first, before his sister does. V'chol yoytze yereichoi shoben kaidmin labas. Now let's say the son is not alive anymore. The son died already before his father died. But the son have children. So then the children of the son, they yashin their grandfather before the daughter does. That's called v'chol yoytze yereichoi shoben, any of the offsprings of the son, they also get the Yerusha before the daughter receives it. It's only when there's no sons at all, no offsprings of the sons, then the Yerusha goes to the bas, to the daughter. Now, bas koidemes lo achim. A daughter receives the Yerusha before the brothers of her father. Like, let's say the father died, he has no sons, he only has a daughter, but he also has brothers. So the halacha is the daughter receives the Yerusha first. And the same thing, Yoytze Yerecha Shelbas, Koidmin Lachin. Let's say even the daughter died, like this father that died now, none of his children are alive, but he has grandchildren from his daughter. They also receive the Yerusha first before it goes back to the father's brother. Now, achin koidmin liachehu av. In the case, let's say, where the father dies and he has, let's say, and he has no children. Let's say Reuven dies, he has no sons, he has no daughters, he has no grandchildren. Then the locker is that the Yerusha goes to his brother. It goes to Shimon before it goes to his father's brother, to his uncle. Now, of course, we're talking about now in a case where the father is not alive. Because if the father would be alive, so then let's say Reuven dies and Reuven has no children, then the Yerusha really would go back to Yaakov, to Reuven's father. But in the case where Yaakov is not alive, Reuven's father is not alive, then the lacher is it goes to Reuven's brothers before it goes to Yaakov's brothers, to the uncles. And the same thing, Yoitza Yerechen Shalachin Koidmin Liachehuav. Let's say again, the same thing, let's say again, Reuven dies and he had a brother, Shimon, and then Yaakov, the father, was mace, but Yaakov also had brothers alive. So there were uncles and there were brothers alive. So he had before that, of course, the brothers Yash and the brother first. But let's say Shimon also died, but Shimon has children. That's the halacha that the Yoytzei Yerechov, the children of the brothers, they Yashin before the brothers of the father. The haklal, this is the klal, kol hakoydin benachlo. Whoever is first to Yashin, like the son Yashin's his father first, or else a father Yashin's his son when there are no grandchildren, or else a brother Yashin's a brother. So halacha is Yoytzei Yerechai, the descendants of these people, Kaidmin, they also become first, like we said, the grandchildren, they come before brothers, the brothers' children comes before the uncles. And the father is before all of the Yoytzei Yerechai. That in the case when the son died and he had no children, then the father, he's the first one to Yashin. Even before L'chol Yoytzei Yerechai, let's say the brothers or the uncles, the father is the first one to Yashin. Alright, we'll stop here. We'll continue on next tape.